Good afternoon, everyone. Today is July 27th. This is our fourth year of doing these episodes, and this is episode six. It means this is the sixth time we're doing it this year. And hope everyone is staying cool, wherever they are, and enjoying their summer. We have, as usual, a full agenda of items. We're going to talk, of course, about the Fed decision, why the Fed raised rates yesterday, and what to look forward to. And, of course, what kind of effect does that have on the markets and corporate earnings? And then for those of you in California, just some tidbits about taxes here coming up. And some also some things about account 2.0 and statements that you need to be aware of. We'll talk a little bit about what areas of the markets we like. And we have a few client questions, and we'll get started. Okay, so with all of that in mind, the most important question of the day, one of the reasons we made this podcast the day after the Fed meeting is because we knew that we're going to raise rates 0.25%. One good thing the Fed has been really doing is they don't like to surprise the market. And you can see the market actually went up after they raised 0.25% because they did exactly what they said they would do all along. But why did they raise 0.25% anyway, especially when they skipped last month, Dryden? Can you tell us?
Sure. There's a couple of things going on here. And we talked about this a number of times, but it really is coming home to roost. And that is the long and variable lags between raising interest rates and it actually showing up in the economy. Right now, you're seeing the interest rate, both on the personal consumption expenditure, which is the number that the Fed looks at the most, okay, that's really kind of totaling up everything we buy, right? And CPI, both are directionally correct. CPI is coming down fairly rapidly. You know, just a couple of months ago, we were at 4.9. Now we're at 3 on the headline. We've gone from 9.1, right, roughly a year ago, all the way down to 3. That is a huge move. That is a huge, huge reduction in inflation. It's like, you know, it's almost a 75% reduction, right? It's a big thing. And then now we've got in PCE, we've gone from 7% down to 3.8. So that's been cut in half too. Big, big moves. But they don't know whether they're done yet, and they don't know exactly which of the previous interest rate hikes are we at now, right? Are we now just seeing the February hike? Are we now seeing the one in March? Or are we seeing the one, in July hit the market, right? So this is the important thing. The Fed does not know what the lag is between the last interest rate hike they made and where we are today. There's just no good way to know that. So here's where we are. What they did was they went up to 75, then they went to 50, then they went to 25, and then they got into this calendar skip, right? Because they don't meet in August, right? So they don't meet in August. That one's gone, okay? And then they don't meet in October. So by raising now, they've put themselves in what I call a natural cadence of alternating months. They raised it. This was an insurance raise. They probably weren't sure whether they were going to do it or not, but they've been telling everybody they were going to do it. So they did it. The data's coming out. Let's raise it now. And then we don't have to do anything in August because we don't meet. And now then we can look at September. Maybe that's a skip. Maybe it's not. And then we have another month of October. And then we have November and December. So you're in what I call the natural cadence of the skip, because you just don't have these meetings. And this is allowing them to slow down this torrid pace of increases in interest rates. What's really important to recognize is there's a good chance that the Fed sticks the landing. Now, if you'd asked me, would they be able to do this a year ago, I would say highly unlikely. But what is going on is we're able to bring down inflation, and we've yet to have this recession that everybody was talking about. If you go back 6 months, everyone was saying, we're going to have a recession, we're going to have a recession, we're going to have a recession. Hadn't showed up. Those people that are looking for a recession, you know, they're going to be wildly disappointed. We're probably not having a recession this year. If you want a recession, you got to wait till next year, and then maybe not. So the point here is that we've been able to get past this torrid inflation. We've been able to have the economy stay in a fairly firm position. We've maintained employment. So it's actually all working pretty good. Are things slowing down? Absolutely. But it's like this. I've said this a couple of times. So those of you who listen regularly would remember that. It's like we've been driving a car at 90 miles an hour. Now, I do that from time to time. I confess. I hope the California Highway Patrol is not listening. But I do that. And some of you do too. That. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes you're in the car, Layla. So, but the important thing is, you drive a car at 90 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you slow down to 50. You feel like you're standing still, yet you're still moving 10 times faster than you can walk. So it's not a recession. It's just slowing down to a more normal, regular rate of growth. And GDP, you know, coming at 2.25%, that's pretty good. In total, things are looking pretty decent for the economy, and that the Fed probably they could stop now and just hold for a long time, or they could raise one more and then hold for a long time. We've said it's all about the pause, because it'll at some point you switch the debate from how high to how long. So there was a question. I'll answer it now. It's a question from when do we think the Fed pivots or starts lowering rates? Certainly not until 2024. Certainly not. It's going to be pushed out. Because the other thing that you're going to see, and you have to be prepared for this, is up until now, we've had wonderful base effects where we had really high numbers a year ago and then they came down. That base effect is statistically probably saying inflation is lower than it really, really is, right? And so that's going to go away as you get into fourth quarter. So we could probably see gas prices tick up a little bit. We could see that part of inflation come up a little bit. We're going to see energy prices firming. We'll see some, you know, a lot of little things firming up. So you get the data for the last quarter is going to be a slowing of the pace of the decline of inflation. So it's kind of fun to be data dependent at this moment. It's kind of it's a good puzzle game. So to answer your question directly, sorry I took so long, but we possibly have one more hike. Then we had a pause. Pause goes into 2024. This last rate was probably kind of an insurance rate. They rose it because they wanted to make sure they had it there. But we're very close to the end of this heightening cycle. That is very positive because companies can now predict better their cost of capital. I've talked about this before. And so I think, and we're going to get new PCE data tomorrow. So that'll verify the direction of things. So I'll talk about what all this means for the market in some of your later questions. But for the economy, folks, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. More people are making more money than ever before in the history of the country. We have more people working than we did during the pandemic. And we have real wage increases. We have labor productivity increases. We have inflation coming down in the right areas. So, I mean, there are 4 million more people working today than were working at the peak right before the pandemic. That's a lot of people. And they're making money, right?
Because they've gotten raises.
And they all got, not all of them, but a lot of them got raises. And when you think about the I can go through all the data, but the wage increases at the lower part spectrum of the economy were greater than the higher. So the lower paid people got a bigger increase. They got actually a real pay raise, more than inflation, right? Because inflation is now about 3, but they got a 7, right? And that sticks. They're not going to take it back. So now you have people have a higher real wage and lower inflation. And that means, what do people at the lower end of the economic spectrum do with their money? They spend, right? And so that's what's happening. So more people have more money to spend.
And that's why they're spending, and that's why the economy is growing at 2.4 instead of actually having a recession, because people have more money and they're spending. And the other question that people have been asking me, which I've answered many times as well, is why is housing, if we have very high interest rates, and some of the rates are getting, 7%, and why is housing holding up? And the main reason housing is holding up is twofold. First of all, people who already have their homes, they're not selling and moving up anymore because they have interest rates of 3.5% and so forth. They don't want to get a new higher interest rate. So people that normally move up in their homes, they're staying sales. So we have a very low inventory as far as housing. And then what I found out as well is most lenders are doing these loans where they're doing these five-year rates, where instead of being able to get a 7% mortgage to get a loan for 30 years, no one is doing that. They're getting 5.5% mortgages, which is allowing them to get into a house. And they figured, like Dryden just said, that interest rates is going to drop sometime 2024, maybe 2025. They figured they can refinance. So that is really the reason why housing is holding up a lot better than people expected, because people are still able to get a 5.5% mortgages or so, and there's just not enough inventory. So when you don't have enough inventory, and there's still people who are wanting to buy homes, that has kept housing in check. The other question we have right now is about earnings, Dryden. Can you tell us what happened to corporate earnings this quarter and what do we expect? Because at the end of the day, that's still how the markets, how stocks are valued, is based on earnings. So talk to us about that.
So there's a big dynamic here with earnings. We talked about how CFOs couldn't really understand or predict their terminal cost of capital because they didn't know how rapidly the Fed was going to raise. If you don't know what your interest rate is going to be, it's really hard to be aggressively predictive about your future earnings. So everybody kind of muted their expectations of earnings. Well, because they're all going, oh, we're going to have a recession. Let's be careful. Let's not do this. Let's not buy that extra stuff. Let's not do capsins. Let's pull down inventories. But they all prepared for a recession that has yet to happen. And therefore, on the demand side, they've got stronger demand than they thought they would. They got better margins than they thought they would. And they had low expectations. So out of 217 companies out of the S&P 500 that have reported, 80% are beating earnings. 80% are beating. Now, they had fairly low estimates, right? And some of the estimates were that they're going to have lower earnings. But the point of the matter is 80% of the companies are doing better than they thought they would. And that's important, the recession that hasn't happened yet. And so as you see that, the market, the first part of the year, it was a very narrow, very steep, very big rally. I mean, if you take a look at how high the market's gone, yay, that's good news, but it's a risky rally. It's a risky rally because it's narrow. If you look at the S&P 500, and equal weighted, the market's up about 10%, 10.7%, right? Which is less than the 18.6 that it is at. So here's what we see happening. Because we're not having the recession, because all the other companies are beating their earnings, we're going to see some of these tech names that have gone up so much, they're a little toppy. Some air is going to come out of that balloon. There's going to be some rotation. But the rest, the broader market, is going to be able to rally on fundamentals. So where we saw a tech rally in the first half of the year, we're going to see a broader rally in the back half of the year. So we think the markets are going to be, positive, certainly into the end of the year. We think there's still some room to run, but it's going to be in different places. So, but I like a broader market rally because it brings strength to it. It's not so narrow. It's not so risky. So I think that we're going to have a broader market rally in the second half of the year. Some of the tech names are going to bleed off a little bit. Some chips should come off the table there. And then we still end up somewhere, double digit positive on the end of the year based on just the fundamentals that we're seeing. So I think that earnings are going to be good. Market rally is going to broaden out. Companies that have yet to participate will. And I think that we're well positioned to take advantage of that particular set of circumstances. So not only will portfolios be higher, they'll be stronger because they'll be broader. That's what we see the market doing.
And of course, we have, you know, the Fed raising rates yesterday, fixed income is definitely is getting more returns. So we have the support, whereas before, when you have a portfolio of a 70-30 allocation, you pretty much have 30% of your money doing nothing but reducing risk, but really earning nothing. Now, if you have 30% of the portfolio earning about 5% in fixed income, it should support the portfolio's returns and allow us to have a smoother ride. So it's not so bad that we, you know, interest rates are certainly higher. They certainly can't stay this high for a very long period of time, maybe, like we said, a year or a year and a half until inflation is down to a comfortable amount. But it definitely, you know, having zero interest rates for so long, like we did for 15 years, was not healthy for the economy.
I think the thing everybody's got to remember, you go back to 1971, we've spent more than half of our lives with interest rates over 4%. And inflation higher than 3%. So it's these prices are not unusual or destructive. It's just a higher level. And you know, we had very low levels coming out of the housing crisis. Where actually they talked about where you have a new normal, right? Well, now the next normal is kind of like the old normal, if you want to think of it that way. So I think that we're going to, in the end, I think we're going to end up in a place, and you're going to hear commentary. People are going to be saying, you know, the Fed needs to just get used to the idea of 3% inflation, and that's okay. And it is. For most of our lives, we've had 3% or better inflation. And, you know, during that period of time, the economy did just fine.
Yeah, and the thing that we're finding is that, and we talked about this many times, is whatever the rates are, people adjust to it. Just like I just talked about with housing, they're adjusting it. They're still going out there and buying, and they're getting, you know, adjustable rates or only fixed rates for 5 years versus 30 years. You know, the institutions are getting used to getting whatever interest rates are out there, adjusting because there's more money in the economy. People are, like Dryden says, there's more money, people have raised, there's more money available, and they're out there spending. And that's why we have such a good GDP.
Layla, you know, can you cover some of the tax planning items for our listeners here in California?
Because right.
In the last half a year, people right. got to start thinking about taxes.
Right. So as you all know, California declared a disaster state because of the fire, which is, you know, us here in Southern California didn't really get affected as much, but the government has given us till October to file our taxes and also pay estimated tax payments. But what really comes with that is that the IRA, if you have not made an IRA contribution for last year, you may still be able to do that, or a sub-IRA contribution. So there's still some planning to do even for last year if you are in that position. And there's certainly, you should, if you haven't done your taxes already, you should definitely get them done, but don't file them, especially if you owe taxes, till October, because you don't need to. And now there's a real interest rate that you get on your money. I wouldn't be in a rush to pay the taxes until October if you owe taxes for 2022. But if you are going to need any funds from your accounts and so forth, make sure and let us know as early as possible so we plan accordingly for you. The other change that I wanted to make sure is an internal change for LPL. If you look at your accounts and you have what we call account view 1.0, LPL is moving everyone to their new account view 2.0. So you will be getting some notices about that to upgrade you to the new system. But the biggest change they have is if you are on a paper statement, you've been getting paper statements on your accounts, LPL trying to save money and trying to reduce, being efficient with waste and so forth, they've decided voluntarily that starting August 1st, all accounts that are paper accounts will be on a quarterly statement basis. So if you are online, then you don't need to worry about it. The statements will be monthly. You can go look at them as long as you want, whenever you want. If you are a paper statement type of a client, you will go quarterly unless you call us and send us an email or a phone call and say, no, I want to stay monthly. So if you want to stay on a monthly statement, we can accommodate you, but you need to let us know. Otherwise, you may wake up and go, oh my gosh, I didn't get my statement. What's going on? And we don't want that to happen. So we did send out an email to everyone letting them know that, but I wanted to make sure and also say here today, because, you know, there's a lot of emails all floating around, and I want to make sure that if you want your monthly statements, to please let us know. Just email me, email any of the team, email Sue, and just say, hey, I want to stay monthly, and we'll do that. All right, so the other thing I want to make sure and let you all know is that we are skipping, the Fed can skip interest rates. We can skip a podcast since, you know, August is a holiday month, and so we are not going to have a podcast next month. Our next podcast is going to be Thursday, September 14th. So please mark that on your calendar. That will be, we will have known exactly, you know, what happened to inflation at that time. We will be able to tell you our projections of where interest rates are going to go, whether they're going to hike or not. We will know a lot about a lot of things by September 14th. And of course, we'll be in the last quarter of the year. Be preparing for tax planning and so forth and so on. So make sure and listen in our next podcast, September 14th. But I do want Dryden to comment one more thing about areas of the market. He talked about how big tech has kind of run up a little bit. So what are the sectors we like besides big tech, Dryden?
I do want to bring up one thing before I get to that is you saw some market volatility today. And this is where you have to pay attention to what other countries and governments are doing. See, the Bank of Japan was being very accommodative on their monetary policy. They were kind of managing the yield curve over there. They decided to let it float. Well, in doing so, that pulls a lot of liquidity out of the market. So our market was taking off and doing really, really well. And then later, this announcement from the Bank of Japan came out. And so when they did that, okay, it basically pulled money supply out of the market. And when it pulled money supply out of the market went down, right? So you saw these big moves today with the volatility of the market, and much of it that really didn't have anything to do with the Powell comments, right, or any of those things. What it really had to do with was Bank of Japan deciding to kind of tighten and do some things there. And so that took the Dow down. So you just had to pay that we are in a global world. Liquidity kind of moves around the globe. And so when someone makes like as big economy as Japan is, makes a major change, it does affect us. But it's not something I would be overly concerned about. It's just these one of these adjustments. Now, we talked about sectors.
Comment about ECB as well. ECB raised rates today.
ECB.
But then they basically said that they may be done,
yeah.
Which we think the Fed could follow the ECB as well.
Well, I think we're all finding this moment where you have the European Bank and the Fed. We're much closer to the end of the heightened cycles, right? Everybody's kind of got it about where they need to be right now, the major global economy. You know, Canada slowed down and take a look at England. They've got some decisions to make there, but ECB. But the big thing is we're very close to the end of this, and that's important. But I think that going back to the sectors that we like, we still like big tech, because it increases labor productivity, but we think also it's a little overpriced, so you got to be a little bit careful here. And we like banks because the interest rates are giving net interest margins. We like cyclicals, and we like energy, and we like payments. And the point is that economy's doing all right. We're doing okay. People are buying things. People are doing things. So the underlying strength of the economy is consumers are doing what consumers do. They consume. And that's kind of what we're out doing. So no recession for the end of the year. We don't think there's going to be one. We think the Fed may actually kind of stick the landing and be able to bleed out this inflation and avoid a recession in the process. Labor force participation is kind of leveling off. It's still lower than it should be. We have 1.6 jobs for every person looking. You know,
which there is a question, a client question here that I want that kind of goes along with that, Dryden. And it says, when everybody talks about wage growth, doesn't everything you buy will be associated with a price increase to pay for it?
Well, there is wage growth. What you're really trying to look for real wage growth, which means that wages are growing faster than relative prices. And this is what I mentioned before, and at the lower income levels, you're seeing that, right? But so the mechanism of inflation doesn't always transfer one to one. But we do see in the services sector, it's sticky, right? In the housing sector, it's sticky. That's why we really don't think we're going to get to two anytime. We're going to be in this, you know, 4 or 3 area. If you look at core, you know, this is the area that we're going to be in. But the bottom line is you know, wages go up, but we went through almost a 10, 15 year period of time where there was no wage growth and there was some inflation. So now you kind of get all that caught up all at once. So wage growth is not necessarily a bad thing. Real wage growth is a good thing because then consumers have more money to actually spend. So the sectors we like, banks, cyclicals, energy, payments, we like tech a little bit because we always like tech. But I think the big thing for us to recognize is the latter half of the year is a broader market participation in this rally than we had in the first half of the year. That's the thing to be looking at. And it's going to be driven by fundamentals. Just core fundamentals, pretty darn good.
All righty. Well, I think we've covered everything we want to cover. We'll still obviously have some volatility in the market. We always do, but things are looking good. No recession this year. One interest rate increase possible, maybe none if we follow the ECB. But, you know, it doesn't, another 0.25% increase in the market is not, the market really doesn't care about that. The big interest rate increases happened all last year. The big shocks happened all this last year. Now the market looks at that and it's just it's not a big deal anymore.
For those of you who came to the client luncheon where I talked about the ripple effect, where it was like we threw all this money in, it was like a big rock going into the water and it splashed and it has ripples, right? Well, now we're continuing to see things level off, and you're probably going to find a more normal situation by the time we get to 2024. But you know the general set of circumstances here are positive for the economy, positive for the markets. And so what I really would encourage everyone to do, since August is a big holiday time, everybody take in a big, big deep breath, let it out, relax, enjoy your summer. We got this that's going on. Let us be us, you be you. Everybody enjoy themselves. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. And we'll see you again September 14th.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Historical performance is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. This information is not intended to be a substitute for specific individualized tax advice. We suggest that you discuss your specific tax issues with a qualified tax advisor. The economic forecasts set forth may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful. All investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. All company names noted herein are for educational purposes only and not an indication of trading intent or a solicitation of their products or services. Layla Pence is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Financial planning offered through Pence Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Dryden Pence is a registered representative with and offers securities and advisory services through LPL Financial, LLC, LPL Financial. Member FINRA/SIPC and a registered investment advisor. Mr. Pence may offer financial planning services through Pence Wealth Management, PWM, a registered investment advisor. Pence Wealth Management, PWM, is a financial services practice within LPL Financial LLC, LPL Financial, comprised of multiple financial professionals that provide a series of services including personal investment advisory, third-party managed advisory and brokerage services. Pence Wealth Management Incorporated is an investment advisor registered with the state of California to provide financial planning services. The financial professionals affiliated with PWM are registered with and offer securities and investment advisory services through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC and a registered investment advisor. As of December 31, 2021, the total assets serviced by PWM through LPL Financial consist of over $1.95 billion in advisory and $383 million in brokerage assets. PWM and LPL Financial are separate entities.